Happy Tuesday, one and all. I hope you're all having a stellar start to your week. There's so much going on in the news today that jump-started our week, of course. And I'm going to get into all that. But I first have to say, before I chit and chat with you guys, and I have six great stories for you guys to get us through our Tuesday. Today, like, get it Tuesday. That's a Friends reference. And if you know, you know. If you don't know, then I highly suggest you get on to HBO Max and watch Friends or wherever it's streaming. But I know it's on HBO Max. I just had the most delicious dinner tonight with my cousin. We were out in Silver Lake because he really likes that area. We went to this fantastic restaurant called Pine and Crane, which is a Taiwanese restaurant. It's like fast food, Taiwanese food, but not, because it's not fast food quality, but it's like you go up to the cash register and the thing and you pay, and then you go sit down, you take your little number and you put it there, and then they bring the food to you. But it's literally, I have not had a meal that stellar in so long. I had dumplings, wonton soup, shrimp, not shumai, but shrimp, some type of shrimp dumpling. It was so stellar, you guys. I am salivating at the thought of it. I need to go back. I'm probably going to go back again this week. It's in Silver Lake. If you're in LA, I highly suggest you go. And I'm sure many people know about this place, but I'm like relatively new to that area. I used to live in Hollywood, but I would always go west, which is why I live in West Hollywood. But like, I would always go like towards like Malibu, Venice, you know, West Hollywood, Century City, you know, wherever UCLA is. That neck of the wood. I particularly find the restaurant life there pretty good. But I have to say, now that I'm, of course, on the west side, I want to go back east to eat my food, which, you know, that's what happens. You, like, move somewhere else, and you always go back to where you, like, used to live. And you, like, never take total advantage of your amenities. But, you know, that's just me. But anyways, aside from that, I hope you're all having a stellar week. I have six really, really good stories for you guys today. Obviously, starting off with the biggest, pretty much, news story of the day, or of the week, really, which is R. Kelly being guilty. We're gonna get into all that. Of course, by the way, if you hear a little bit of wind in the background, my AC is on. Even though it's like 60 degrees in LA, I still like need my AC on because I'm warm-blooded and my dog's with me. And when my dog is with me, I have to keep my apartment pretty cool because, you know, dogs wear a fur coat. And I said what I said. So yeah. But aside from that, not much else is new. I spent the day with my cousin, which is great. He's been in LA for almost 2.5 weeks now, and he's going back tomorrow. So he spent the last day seeing stuff he wanted to see in Silver Lake, going for a great walk at the reservoir. And it's really, really cloudy and overcast today, so it's the perfect day to spend outside. It was the perfect day to spend outside yesterday. But I love, you know, I love when, you know, we get a break from the sun, because it's a lot and it's cooler, and it makes you want to just stay home bundled up and watching movies, which I already do anyways, but, you know, yeah. By the way, if you do hear a bark throughout this podcast at some point, my dog is with me, and, you know, there is noise outside, so sometimes he, you know, barks, because that's how dogs are. Right now he's licking his booty because he probably has to go poop, and I'm going to take him to do a poop after we finish recording this. So, without further ado, let's get into our stories of the day. The first one, obviously, is from TMZ, R. Kelly guilty in federal sex crimes trial. Okay, I'm going to read what TMZ wrote, which is initially where I got the news story, and then I'm going to hop over to CNN where I got, where there are other components to this story. So, R. Kelly has just been found guilty on all counts of in this federal sex crimes trial, and he could be staring down life in prison. The jury started deliberating on Friday afternoon, had the weekend off. Sorry. The jury started deliberating on Friday afternoon, had the weekend off, and took about half the day on Monday yesterday to reach its verdict on 9 federal counts, including racketeering, sex crimes, human trafficking, obstruction of justice, and kidnapping. Pretty much all really, really bad, abysmal, sick behavior. I've heard racketeering. I've heard the phrase before, but racketeering. It was in relation to somebody else that was big I was reading about, but I can't remember. But this is all really bad. The trial wrapped a little over a month after it began, with the prosecution calling for more witnesses than the defense. Kelly's team only called 5 witnesses over a couple of days. Kelly himself never took the stand. Sentencing is scheduled for May 4th, and now that Kelly's been convicted on all counts, he could get 10 years to life. Mind you, he's still set to go on a second federal trial in Chicago and state trials in Illinois and Minnesota. Oh my gosh. Monday's verdict in federal court in Brooklyn comes just over 2 years after Kelly was arrested in Chicago for multiple federal sex crimes in 2 different states. Kelly's legal team called a handful of ex-Kelly employees and associates to take the stand in an effort to discredit allegations the singer sexually abused women, girls, and boys. Some of Kelly's ardent defenders said under oath they never saw Kelly abuse anyone. What's more, some of the defense witnesses went as far as saying that if anything, Kelly was, quote, chivalrous to his girlfriends. Prosecutors, however, called dozens of witnesses to the stand to refute defense testimony and poke holes throughout. Some of the prosecutor's witnesses straight up said Kelly had a small team made up of managers, bodyguards, and assistants who rounded up Kelly's potential victims before the singer groomed them for unwanted sex, among other things. The witnesses also testified, saying Kelly's entourage would recruit potential victims, sort of what, like, Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, the woman who was closely associated with Jeffrey Epstein, would do. She was sort of his alleged go-to girl to recruit people. Either at his concerts, malls, or even fast food joints. You can recall one of the two women interviewed by Gayle King back in 2019 also took to the witness stand and claimed Kelly was controlling them right then and during the interview. I mean, I believe that because also, I mean, I thought a lot about the interview that R. Kelly had with Gayle King, the infamous interview where he gets up and Gayle's very composed and, you know, stoic and just sitting there taking it. And then she's like, Robert, Robert. And then he comes down and sits back down. Yeah, I mean, he should be thrown in prison for 10 years to life. It's sick. It's horrible. It's tragic what these women went through, and I guess boys too. It's so horrible and beyond tragic, and there's absolutely no excuse and justification for anyone like that being out free in the world, in today's world. It's just not acceptable. And, you know, there was a documentary, Finding R. Kelly, I think it was called, or something along those lines. I didn't ever watch it, but I remember recapping it because I saw clips of it, and, you know, I read a lot about it because it was a really big story when it came out, and, of course, the Gayle King interview, and it's just, you know, justice for these victims, you know, these people who went through hell. It's horrible. It's horrible. I hate talking about stories like this, but it's really important to give a platform to those who are fighting up against abusers and sick people who are just terrible, terrible, deplorable, you know, people. But this brings us to our second story. Well, same first story, but second news article. This is from CNN. Some of this might be a bit redundant. I apologize, but I'm going to read it because CNN usually has other added in facts. R. Kelly convicted of racketeering and sex trafficking by a federal jury in New York. The synopsis I'm not going to read, because it's pretty much, quote, today's guilty verdict forever brands R. Kelly as a predator who used his fame and fortune to prey on the young, the vulnerable, and the voiceless for his own sexual gratification, said Jacqueline Casulis, acting U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York. R. Kelly is, quote, a predator who used his inner circle to ensnare underage girls and young men and women for decades in a sordid web of sex abuse, exploitation, and humiliation. She added, she said the victims were brave for coming forward and telling their stories. Quote, to the victims in this case, your voices were heard and justice was finally served, Casulis said. Attorney Gloria Allard, who represented three of the sex victims who testified at trial, said Kelly is the worst predator she has ever pursued. Quote, first, he used the power of his celebrity to recruit vulnerable and underage girls for the purpose of sexually abusing them. These were not May-October relationships, which is what his defense attorney wanted the jury to believe. These were crimes against children and some adults, Allard said. She said the verdict was also a message to other celebrities who prey on others. Kelly did not have any reaction to the verdict when it was read in court, and according to his attorney, he was not expecting this verdict. How could he not be expecting it? Like, these people are so deluded and sick-minded. I mean, Kelly did not have any, attorney Devereaux Canick said outside the court the government, quote, cherry-picked evidence to support its narrative. Quote, you didn't get to see what we saw in terms of the discovery. You didn't get to see all the inconsistencies, Canick said. Quote, we said in our summation that the government cherry-picked their version that they thought would support the continuation of the narrative. There's a subsection here. Kelly could face decades in prison. The jury made up of 7 men and 5 women began deliberating Friday afternoon. In all, Kelly could face decades at prison at sentencing, which is scheduled for May 4th. The verdict comes 13 years after Kelly, whose full name is Robert Sylvester Kelly, was acquitted of child pornography charges at an Illinois state trial. An attorney for Kelly said they are considering filing an appeal and are disappointed in the verdict. Ugh, come on. And then the next subsection, trial to begin August 18th. 50 prosecution and defense witnesses took the stand during the 5-week trial, including victims who were identified as Jane Doe's and Kelly's indictments. There were 45 prosecution witnesses. Jane Doe 1 was the singer Aaliyah, who we all know passed away in 2001. Let's see here. There's another subsection here. Kelly's legal problems are not over. Kelly still has legal battles after this trial in the Northern District of Illinois. He faces more federal charges, including child pornography and obstruction charges. He also faces criminal charges in Minnesota for 2 counts of engaging in prostitution with a minor and Illinois state charges for aggravated criminal sexual abuse. This is a bad guy. This is a very, very bad guy. He's evil. He's a predator. He has pleaded not guilty to all charges and denies any wrongdoing. Yes, and that is pretty much, the rest of the article goes on to pretty much sum up what I said in the TMZ article. So if you want to read it, it's there. But yeah, justice for the victims, and R. Kelly should be gone. Lock the door, throw away the key, and in the words of Chicago, the Cell Block Tango, he had it coming, bum-bum, he had it coming, bum-bum. Wait, how does the song go? He had it coming, dun-dun, they had it coming, dun-dun, da-da-da-da-da, all along. If you had been there, dun-dun, if you had seen it, I bet that you would have done the... That's such an iconic movie. You know, Chicago with Catherine Zeta-Jones, Renee Zellweger, Richard Gere, and of course the queen herself, Queen Latifah. The Cell Block Tango is iconic. Love that movie. Okay, anyways, this brings us to our third and fourth story of the days. Third and fourth stories of the day. A little bit of, actually, continuing legal news, but housewife legal news. Bethany Frankel is running her mouth, as she usually does, because she's not on the show anymore, so obviously she's very thirsty for attention. You didn't hear it from me, but I literally love her and I'm the biggest fan ever. But, you know, Bethany likes to stay relevant, and she has a podcast, and obviously she has to get those numbers and those, you know, viewership numbers. But anyways, this is from Page Six. Bethany Frankel. Erica Jane is on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because she needs the money. Bethany. Okay, we'll read it, and then I'll, you know, we'll dissect. Bethany Frankel thinks Erica Jane, who is being sued for $25 million, is compelled to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because she is so hard up for cash. Quote, she needs the money, Frankel says on an upcoming episode of her podcast, Just Be with Bethany Frankel, according to Us Weekly. Quote, she's on the show, which is not a great idea because they're investigating the whole thing, but probably is something she needs or wants to do for her livelihood. She also said of Jane, quote, I think she did the show because she likes the fame and she wants to be relevant. I mean, who doesn't? Frankel, 50, was referring to Jane, 50, and her ex-husband Tom Girardi being accused of embezzling money meant for Lion Air Flight 610 victims through their, quote, sham divorce, which she has since denied on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Jane filed to divorce Girardi in November 2020 after two decades of marriage. Still, Frankel says she isn't very familiar with what Jane is going through and can't really give answers. Quote, I don't quote unquote know Erica Jane, the Skinny Girl CEO said. I met her. We've done this sort of Instagram thing and she was at my house doing a crossover Housewives episode. I have no idea if she knew about Tom's actions. I know nothing about their marriage, nothing about their life. We're not all experts on someone else's lives. Frankel made headlines last week when she claimed, I was just having this conversation with somebody very recently. This is so funny. Well, it's not funny, but it like is funny. It's like, you know, how small the world is. That, like, literally, I would be reading about what I'm talking about, which makes life more interesting. Frankel made headlines last week when she claimed that she had known about Jane's financial woes for years, calling their financial issues the, quote, worst kept secret. She claimed Girardi, 82, allegedly owed Dennis Shields, who passed in 2018, $500,000. But Jane's attorney exclusively told Page Six, which was very shady, that there would be no way for Frankel to know anything about her financial situation. Quote, Erica has no knowledge of the alleged loans or conversations referred to by Ms. Frankel, which even per Ms. Frankel didn't involve Erica. The trial lawyer trolled Page Six, adding, quote, to me, this is another example of people trying to throw dirt on Erica based on alleged conversations. Well, like I said, Bethany's running her mouth, her trap, and, you know, she's got to get those listenerships, but I'm literally living for the drama. But anyway, speaking of Erica Jane, another Page Six story that literally came out yesterday, which I was gagging about, Lisa Vanderpump, Kyle Richards spread Erica Jane rumors at Andy Cohen party. Okay, before I even read the story, I just got to say, Lisa Vanderpump's got to come back on the show. She is literally being more dramatic and, like, literally more salacious now that she's not on the show anymore, and I think we all need her back. She's on Vanderpump Rules, she's in the Bravo family, and I love LBP so much, I would love her to come back, stir some drama. I mean, Erica's probably, this was Erica's season. Okay, great, now it's time for, you know, somebody else to have a low point season and, like, get, you know, the dirt thrown at them. And I'm thinking Kyle, because Kyle is the queen of Beverly Hills right now, and, you know, queens can't stay queens forever. Not that I want Kyle off the show, I don't, because I met her, I think she's a lovely woman, but I think Kyle needs to, you know, have her moment. So let's read this article and then we're gonna chit and chat about it. Okay. Once again, the title of this article is Lisa Vanderpump, Kyle Richards spread Erica Jane rumors at Andy Cohen party. Okay. Erica Jane's years-long friendship with Kyle Richards hasn't been all diamonds and rosé, according to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills alum and queen, Lisa Vanderpump. In a recent interview with Daily Mail TV, Vanderpump 61 reluctantly claimed that it was former bestie Richards 52 who spread rumors about Jane's financial woes at Andy Cohen's baby shower in 2019. Quote, yeah, but I don't think Lisa Vanderpump was there, so how would you know? But anyways, I'm sure that's what Kyle's defense is going to be, because obviously Kyle's going to speak out about this. Quote, it could be the person that my husband, Ken Todd, kicked out of my house, Vanderpump said with a laugh, referring to the infamous end of her friendship with Richards that played out on season 9 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You guys remember that iconic goodbye, Kyle? Like, literally everybody was poking fun of it, even Kris Jenner. Love it. Fellow Real Housewives of Beverly Hills alum Camille Grammer previously claimed via Twitter that a West Coast-based housewife and a, quote, good friend of Jane's circulated stories about the now-embattled Bravo celebrity at Cohen's star-studded event. Though fans of the Pretty Mess pop star immediately pointed fingers at Lisa Rinna and Richards. Vanderpump later said that the hearsay started with the latter wife. Quote, "It didn't surprise me when Camille told me that it was Kyle that had told her about the gossip about the supposed friend Erica Jane," the restaurateur said. "That's how Kyle works. Jane is, literally, as we know, currently facing a series of lawsuits over allegations that her lavish lifestyle with estranged husband Tom Girardi was funded by money funneled to her from the disgraced attorney's former law firm, Girardi Keys." Obviously, they're divorced. Yeah, you know, part of me thinks this is like Lisa Vanderpump's way of wanting to stir the pot to get back in the drama of a show that she's not on but really wants to be back on, which I really would love for her to be back on. But who knows? I mean, I don't think Kyle has spoken out about this yet, but of course, when she does, we'll be here to chit and chat about it because that is my job as the mistress of pop culture. But I thought it was a really great story, so I love the drama. I'm living for it, you guys. Okay, and this brings us to our fifth story of the day. One of the most iconic couples of all time in Hollywood, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. This is from E! News. Will Smith says Jada Pinkett Smith wasn't the only one who had extramarital relationship. Now, this is spilling some tea, you guys. Some couples have nothing to hide. Take, for instance, Will Smith, 53, and Jada Pinkett Smith, 50, who have shared just about every detail of their 23-year marriage, including Jada's relationship with August Alsina during a brief separation from her husband. Quote, "Now, 13 months after that bombshell reveal, Will is looking back on the infamous July 2020 Red Table Talk episode where he joined his wife." See, my dog barking. Sorry about that. Hold on one sec. Chai, come here, Bubba. See, I told you there was going to be a little bit of barking in this episode. You know, he wants to speak to you. He wants to give his input on the story. Chai, what do you say? Oh, he agrees. He thinks Lisa Vanderpump is literally spilling the pot. And Lisa Vanderpump loves dogs, so, like, obviously, Chai, come here. When, you know, Chai hears Lisa Vanderpump, he wants to bark because Lisa Vanderpump is a dog mom and Chai is a doggy. So come here, Bubba. Honey, I'm trying to work here. Can I work? Do you want to sit on my lap? Come here, Bubby. Let's just see if he stops barking. I'm sorry about that, you guys. But you know what? He can be in the podcast too because this is almost my 500th episode and he loves to chit and chat. And Chai, there are other people who live in this world too. I constantly have to remind my pup that there are other people who live in the world too because, you know, when I take him for drives and stuff, he likes to bark and, like, chat with people. He's very friendly, but, you know, he loves to, you know, bark and rark and give his opinion about everything. But that's my son. Anyways, let's get back to the story. So sorry to go off topic here. When asked by GQ why they wanted to have a frank public discussion for the world to see, the actor didn't hesitate to explain, quote, "The pursuit of truth is the only way to be happy in this lifetime," the Fresh Prince of Pillair shared with the publication. What profound words, Will Smith. I'm going to read that again. Quote, "The pursuit of truth is the only way to be happy in this lifetime." Quote, "And we sort of came to this agreement that authenticity was the release from the shackles of fame and public scrutiny." In other words, when you tell the truth, you have nothing to fear. Jada never believed in a conventional marriage. Will continued, "Jada had family members that had unconventional relationship, so she grew up in a way that was very different than how I grew up. There were significant endless discussions about what is relational perfection. What is the perfect way to interact as a couple? And for the large part of our relationship, monogamy was what we chose, not thinking monogamy as the relational perfection. As only relational perfection." As part of the interview, Will shared a draft of his upcoming memoir, which surprisingly doesn't discuss any outside relationships. Why the omission? Well, quote, "We had given each other trust and freedom with the belief that everybody has to find their own way, and marriage for us can't be a prison." Will explained, "And I don't suggest our road for anybody. I don't suggest this road for anybody, but the experience is that the freedoms that we've given one another and the unconditional support to me is the highest definition of love." Basically, he's, like, alluding to the fact that they trust each other, but I guess they were open, I guess, allegedly? I don't know. I think this is so good, though, because Will Smith is such a big Hollywood star. Jada Pinkett is very, very, very beloved and well-known, especially with the Red Table Talk, which I think is a great show. And also, whenever I think of Jada Pinkett, I think of The Matrix, because she's iconic. And whenever I think of Will Smith, I think of I Am Sam, which is, like, one of the greatest and saddest films ever, which I can't handle. And I haven't watched it for years, because, you know, the scene with this dog, it's just, like, not I Am Sam. I am Legend. What is I Am Sam? Oh, I'm thinking of Milk, because I think Sean Penn's character's name is Sam. No. Am I getting my wires crossed here? I Am Legend. It's an iconic movie. It's really hard to watch, but it's a really great one. I think it's so weird that he's being candid and honest, and I think if more people like him, you know, like Kim and Kanye, I mean, they're not super open, but, like, they basically are in separation, and Kim was very candid about what was going on and said it was hard because Kanye needs a partner who is devoted to him and can just travel the world and get up and leave, and Kim wants to be bunkered down with her family in Calabasas and that gorgeous compound. I think it's so great, and we live in an era where people can be that open these days without judgment and receiving judgment or backlash, which is so great about, you know, the Progressive Times that ran in 2021. So yeah, I'm going to definitely read this book because I love a celebrity memoir, and I love Will Smith too, and Jada Pinkett. Love the whole Smith Pinkett family. They're iconic. Now we bring ourselves to our sixth and final story of the day, and it's just a little bit of an update on what we talked about yesterday with the iconic Dog the Bounty Hunter. This article is from TMZ. Dog the Bounty Hunter finds campsite possibly linked to Brian Laundry, alerts authorities. I mean, all it took was Dog the Bounty Hunter. Like, we just needed him from the beginning here. Dog the Bounty Hunter is right on Brian Laundry's tail, or at least it's possible, and authorities are looking into it. A source with direct knowledge tells TMZ, Dog, who joined the manhunt for Gabby Petito's fiancé a couple days ago, has been in the Florida woods looking for him and found something he thinks may finally lead to his capture. We are told, we are on TMZ, Dog got a tip that led him to his new wife, Francie, to a fresh campsite that might be linked to Laundry, who's been missing for a week and a half now. TMZ sources say Dog has alerted authorities to the campground location because he believes it could be a major clue in the manhunt, and he's currently waiting for their arrival. There's more. TMZ is told Dog believes he's uncovered proof that links Laundry's parents to the campsite, though it's unclear what that is. Of course, this could all be a false alarm, just like the trail cam footage and the lookalike sighting in Canada, but we'll have to wait and see. As you know, Gabby was passed away in a Wyoming state park a little over a week ago, and the feds have issued a warrant, an arrest warrant for Brian for unauthorized use of a debit card right around the time Gabby went missing. So yeah, there really has been daily updates with this tragic case, and I'm like so shocked yet not surprised that Dog the Bounty Hunter is the one uncovering, you know, little tidbits of news and whatnot with regards to the story. But you know, leave it to him. He's literally a pro at his job and knows what he's doing. So yeah. All right, everybody. Those are our stories in today's episode, our Tuesday's episode of The Mistress of Pop Culture. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'm Andrew DeVitri, The Mistress of Pop Culture. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CastBox Radio, iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone, basically anywhere a podcast stream. I am going to put a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode, of course, because of the subject matter with regards to the R. Kelly story, which is tragic. But have a fabulous Tuesday, one and all, and I'll be back with you to chit and chat on Wednesday for Hump Day. On Wednesday, we're pink. All right, everybody, have a good one, and XOXO, Gossip Girl.